How are you going to sort of translate this to a patient who, in terms of sort of risk-benefit and specifically risk, if a patient says to you, what's the chance that, you know, I'm going to have a serious problem that's not going to be reversible, what number would you give? Let's start out with a 50-year-old woman, perfectly healthy.
Yeah. Well, I think I would always put it in the context of the risk of her breast cancer. And, you know, one of the things that I try to explain with any issue with patients is that every cancer therapy is a risk-benefit question. There are very few cancer therapies where there's potential benefit and there's no risk involved. Tamoxifen has risk. You know, there's risk to aromatase inhibitors. There's risk to everything that we use. And some of them have more serious risk. When we talk to bone marrow transplant patients, we quote them a certain percent risk of dying from the therapy. In B31, we haven't had any cardiac deaths from trastuzumab. We had one patient who developed a pneumonitis, which is a rare complication of trastuzumab, and died from that. We saw about a 1% risk just with chemotherapy alone of congestive heart failure, and about a 4% risk with chemotherapy plus trastuzumab. Now, the follow-up on those patients, which are just 30 patients who were treated with trastuzumab, is that they, of course, were under cardiology care at that point and were on cardiac medications. All except two of them have ejection fractions over 40% now. More than half of them have normal ejection fractions, and 8 of the 30 are off of all cardiac meds. So not everybody recovers. There is a real decrement in ejection fraction, even in asymptomatic patients, that occurs that's not causing symptoms, and they don't have clinical congestive heart failure, but they're not where they started out before they started any chemotherapy. So, you know, the fact that we're measuring all of these things, one of the important things is that all of the patients in these trials are being followed very long term. It's going to be critical to see how they do, if they all really kind of get back up in a really good normal range over time, you know, especially the asymptomatic ones, if I think most of them also recover normal ejection fractions as well.
I think you said that 19% of the patients had their treatment interrupted.
Right.
Now, of those, can you break down how many got restarted and how much therapy they ended up receiving?
Those are the ones who discontinued.
Permanently.
Yeah.
So there were a few who stopped
for a month and then went back. And there were rules like how many times could you do that and so on.
Of the 19% who discontinued, sort of roughly where did that occur during the year?
Well, we kind of broke it up by quarter. These were patients that had either symptomatic heart failure or asymptomatic. So this was the whole group who stopped for one reason or another for a cardiac reason. In the first quarter, of course, they're just taking paclitaxel and trastuzumab, and they're kind of on automatic pilot, and so you're not going to measure them for asymptomatic changes until they get done with that. So there's only a couple percent in that quarter that change. In the second quarter, which is after trastuzumab, it's about 7% of people who started that quarter. And in the third quarter of the people who started that quarter, it's about 7%. And then in the last quarter, it's another 2% or so.